You mean like sort of on the...
I guess I love you.
Tragedy struck.
I see you haven't lost your touch.
Hey everybody, this is Q with Project Nerd. I am here with Brett Harvey, the director of Inmate Number One, The Rise of Danny Trejo. That is maybe one of the films that the crew at Project Nerd is the most excited about. We've all been buzzing to see this movie, so...
Cool.
Lots of pressure.
11
just right out of the gate.
Morning.
There's so many questions. How, why, where did this start? How did you get to this project? Give me all of the information.
Well, I was finishing Ice Guardians, which was a film on the fighters in the NHL. And a producer that I work with sometimes, he had actually been working with Danny on other films. And through that process, he had heard Danny's story. And so he passed it on to another producer. Eventually, it came to me, and we were trying to figure out the next project. When I saw his story, though, holy crap. Like, what a dream.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, it's beyond just a biography piece, the message that he ends up having in it. So I saw it, and then I took a month, basically, and I researched his life. I looked up pictures, and I created this big printed hard-covered book that we went down and met with Danny in a taco restaurant down at Pacoima in his old neighborhood, which he still lives, that he grew up in.
Amazing.
And when he saw it, he said, these are the guys, and it started from there.
That's so awesome.
Yeah.
Now, I've seen just bits and clips of him in previous interviews before, kind of giving a little backstory of his life, and you are not wrong when you say it is just a wild ride and just a fat... I mean, he's such a fascinating person. For a filmmaker, like you said, that's got to be a dream come true. You're like, this is an amazing guy with an amazing story that needs to be told.
You hear all the time the cliche of, this was written to a script that people wouldn't believe it.
Sure.
This is one of those stories. His movies are one thing, you know, which is a whole crazy adventure all in itself. I think he's over 400 now.
Wow.
When we had started, I believe he was at about 350. That tells you how many he's doing a year.
For sure. That's crazy.
It's insane. But when you get into the backstory of where he came from, how he fell into the criminal life that he did, how far down that took him, you know, he was facing three counts of the death penalty at one point. And then the transformation he made just by a simple philosophy and a promise that he was trying to keep to himself and for his higher power, which was God. He said he made a promise to God that he was going to change. If basically he was allowed to die with dignity, he said that he would help us a fellow prisoner from then on out. And then he kept it all these years, and it transitioned. And it was interesting because once his mentality changed to helping other people versus what the way he describes it as the gangster mentality is take, 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 what's it in for me? When he transitioned that, just do something good for other people without the expectation of something coming back to you, his life completely altered. So his thing is every good thing that's ever happened to him in his life has been a direct result of helping someone else. And look where it's gotten them.
It's amazing. I do have a question. So when approaching a subject like this, somebody who has a life that's so rich in story, how do you kind of decide on the narrative direction to kind of take a documentary?
It's tough because there was a lot on the cutting room floor with Danny's story. It goes well beyond what we had. With his, though, the most important aspect to me was the story of redemption, basically, that he had fallen to a certain level, and then he felt that he needed to repay that debt. And for him, that debt never gets repaid. You know, as long as he's alive, he'll keep repaying it. So that's the arc that was the most important to me. So anything that kind of fell outside of that, you know, you can only have a documentary so long too. So, and it's running at an hour and 45 minutes, which is up there. But even then, there's just so many elements to his story and so many fascinating points to it that it just flies by. So there were elements that had to get cut out, but that redemption element was the most important. The fact that he goes back to prison still constantly. He's 75 years old. He does probably 10 films a year, and that's not the most important thing that he does. He uses it to facilitate going around the world and speaking to prisoners and speaking to addiction clinics and youth and trying to give a better perspective on how to get out of that world.
So it really is a story about someone just genuinely utilizing that second chance to its fullest.
To its fullest and beyond. I haven't seen somebody on TV, I haven't seen somebody in a movie that's made such a crazy transition as Danny. Danny was took his first shot of heroin at 12 years old. He was doing armed robberies all through his teens while we were going to high school, you know.
Sure.
Not while we were.
This sure.
back in the 50s. And then, you know, his 20s were basically spent in every state prison across California. He was head of a protection ring in prison. He was trying to survive. But yeah, he made it out. And the funny thing is when he got out, I think he spent the next 20 years, he became a counselor before he ever was in any movie. And he was notorious with NA, AA, going around the world and speaking, and people would listen because of who he was. They knew that he had the experience that it comes with Danny's message. The way he puts it is one of the most important things is you have to actually get them to listen before your message will get across.
Sure.
Danny's got two avenues of that. With the prisoners, he has the respect because he was in prison. He went through what they went through. So when he walks into a room, we walked into a room with 40 prisoners in Arizona State Prison. Immediately, all of them listen. You could hear a pin drop.
Wow.
Gets that respect. Teenagers, how hard is it to get them to listen?
Sure.
But when Machete walks into the room, they listen.
Sure.
So that's the most important first step. And Danny has that angle, which is that he can get them to listen and then he can get the message in.
That's absolutely amazing. Now, clearly working with him closely for this film, do you have any personal anecdotes that you can offer from a certain moment or time that you spent with Danny that maybe is not in the film that was just something that meant something to you?
Well, I would say there was stories of his childhood. It was probably one of the coolest moments for me was when we jumped in his Bel Air. Danny's a big car guy, and oh my God, you got to see his cars. They're beautiful. But we jumped in his Bel Air, and we were traveling around his old neighborhood where a lot of the crimes had been committed, as well as just a lot of his childhood stories and interactions with his dad and various members of his family. And so there was a lot of stories around that didn't quite make it in just because, again, it's a time issue.
Sure.
But just we would drive by the airport there and he had a story about these two kids that had been playing with a gas can and been blown up. And it had caused an interaction between him and dad who were at the other end of the runway on that same day.
Wow.
But yeah, we would be going by places and Danny would be like, I robbed that place. Yeah, and this is how we did it. And, you know, it's just it was a surreal experience. And there was moments too of real reflection on how hardcore what he had done was.
Sure.
As well. So he's at that age where he's letting it all out now. And I'm sure he had over the years, but
sure.
Yeah, he doesn't hold anything back in this. It's raw and it's who he is. And in the end, you end up loving him.
Oh, I love it. Yeah. I cannot wait. What, like I said, I said it at the beginning, I'll repeat it again. We're all so excited to see
cool.
this film.
We're excited to get it out there.
So for those of the folks at home that aren't here at the festival checking it out, how can they keep up to date on what's going on with the film? Where can they go to check it out?
Yeah, we have Instagram. We do have Twitter. I believe it's at Trejo Doc. I believe it is. If not, look up Inmate Number
sure.
One, The Rise of Danny Trejo. I should know this stuff. I'm not involved on that end. But yeah, definitely we're all over the internet posting stuff left and right. And we hope to be at a much bigger venues down the road as far as distribution. So hopefully it'll get out to everybody around the country and the world eventually.
I have no doubt when people really see a story like this about a person like Danny that won't be a problem at all.
So far it's resonating big time. We did a screening with Danny back in California and the response was insane. And right. It was really cool to see him get to experience that with an audience where, you know, it's his kids on the screen talking about him. It's all his friends, you know, his friends who also were in San Quentin
sure.
and Folsom and to have this story and his life unravel in that way and showcase who he's become on screen and then to see him respond to that was amazing. So yeah, we're really excited about that.
Well, we can't wait. We're going to be checking it out for sure. So you'll see a whole crew of Project
awesome.
Nerd at the screening for sure.
We appreciate the support.
Oh my honestly. Gosh. Thank you so much for sitting down with us and we appreciate it and enjoy the rest of the festival.
Thank you. Yeah.
Absolutely.
By the way, thank you to the Tallgrass Film Festival. It's been amazing.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. 100%. Definitely.
I wouldn't say that if it wasn't true.
Facts.